Hello, hola, buenas, ¿qué hubo? ¿Qué más? ¿Qué pasó, parceros?
¿Cómo vas, Claire? Estoy inspirada.
It's the Chancleta Generation Podcast. Buenas, hello, hello, ¿qué hubo?
¿Cómo estás?
And welcome back to part two of how we can have healthier relationships in the Chancleta Generation Podcast. And yes, today we're back again with Maria Elisa, who has been dropping some amazing truths. And we've been learning so much from her. And we have more goodness coming up for you. So I hope you resonate with someone. And here we go. Let's talk about, you know, all of us in our lives have at some point have either have currently or have had an unhealthy relationship, mm-hmm. or the one that we feel that could be better. Mm-hmm. In your experience from, you know, from talking to other people and yourself, you know, what can we start doing to, you know, to start healing that or to start improving on that relationship that we feel is not healthy for us?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. So I believe that the first thing that you can do it's build that network, or start with that one person that you know that you can talk to. That one person, it could be a counselor, it could be a friend, if you feel like a family member can help. Start talking about it. If we don't talk about it, we are going to build the consequent. We're going to come out with the resulting consequences, and we're going to be feeding into those same thoughts, negative, good thoughts, and maybe that might not be the truth in some cases, or maybe it's not the most effective way to think about what's going on in your life. So I do suggest that find that person that you can talk to. And in my experience, let me tell you, especially with survivors of domestic violence or any kind of abuse, it's very hard to reach out to loved ones. And this is, again,
there's judgment.
Goodness.
And that's what I'm gonna mention, like, you know, you were saying about like compassion and stuff, and the opposite of that is the judgment, the self-judgment, and also the fear of facing that self-judgment from the people that we love, like family members.
Exactly. It's so hard. What comes with this? Mm-hmm. I remember going through difficult times in my life, and I love my sister, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, everybody in my family, and I know they want the very best for me. But at some point, I reached out to a family member. I told them what was happening, and they spoke from their truth, their own experiences, and they gave me advice on what I needed to do. At that moment, it made perfect sense. But then I went back to my home, went back to my relationship, because I was not ready to end things on a snap of a finger. So I went back home, and then we circled back, and como que los ánimos se bajaron, like we were calmed and da 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 da. So a few months went by, and then I found myself in a very similar situation, and I thought, like, I'm gonna go back to the same person I talked to before. They gave me very good advice, even though I didn't follow, but I was felt good to speak with this person. And then what I got is like, how dumb are you? Like, this person is treating you doing this, da 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 da. Like, you know this is happening to you. What the heck are you doing? Like, do you want this for yourself? So the first time was kind of good, but the second time, this big I felt. And I know this person loves me, and they were talking, they wanted the best for me, but they were talking from their own experience. And you know, I was not ready to hear that. So the one thing that I talk to people, I always say, reach out to that one person that you can talk. And it's easier to talk to a person that it's not related to you whatsoever. Nothing, because that person can be, I wouldn't say neutral, but they can give you a more objective point of view. And not even a point of view, they can just listen to you. Sometimes you don't even know, you don't want an answer, you just want somebody to listen. That's the truth. Yeah. So I would say, find that one person, and that's the way to start healing. If you don't talk about it, it's very hard, because your own thoughts can bring you to very, very dark spaces. And that's a scary place to be. It is a very scary place to be for people that have they are spiritual and they have faith in God or whatever being they pray to, or they whatever they do to calm those feelings. They might find some comfort there. Many people do. I know I do. But there are other things that we need to talk, because when we have been through so much trauma, things like that, then we lead into other situations that I know that praying, in my case, I know praying can do miracles and I know what could happen, but that is not the truth for every person. So it's good to talk to somebody and not to a professional. Sometimes we might need that extra help. There's nothing wrong with that. And that doesn't mean that we're weak. It's just that we just reach out for help. So the first thing, Clemente said, I would say, talk to somebody. Find that person. Zero judgment.
That's great.
Zero judgment.
Yeah.
And I advise, I don't want to say prevent you from talking to family members, but they will always try. It's easier for family members to tell you what they think you need. But if you decide to go back to that situation, the last thing you need is somebody to tell you, I told you so. That doesn't happen in any way.
Well, there's the bias factor, and there's also, you know, sometimes in the cultural, in our culture, there's a lot of like, el que dirán. So, you know, if you're having an issue, then they're probably like, well, you shouldn't just like leave it. Just don't deal with it. Because like, you know, what are people going to say if you leave that person or whatever? Mm-hmm. Just like, nee, just. And then that's not good. I mean, that might be advice for them, but that might not work for you. So, like, you know, really be aware of this bias.
Yes.
You know, whenever you speak with your family about it, or, you know, or sometimes it just may not feel supportive.
Yeah. And one thing I gotta say, and we, our culture tends to be very social. We're very social people. We like to get together. We like to talk. So,
el chisme no nos gusta, pero nos entretienes, ¿quieres decir?
Yes. So basically, what I'm saying is that we can take advantage of the spaces that we have because we're very social. So if I want to engage in conversation with somebody, let's say that I saw somebody that is having a bad discussion, or you can sense the tension between a couple or a friend or whoever, maybe that's not the right place to go and give them your advice about, you know what, don't let that person treat you like that, because that person at that moment is feeling so much shame. You don't need to add to that plate. When the, como se dice, se bajan las energías, of course, if it's not a situation that it requires like high risk situation, I'm talking about what something that you witnessed that might be a red flag to you, try to reach out to that person and say, let's grab a coffee, we haven't talked in years, whatever. Grab a coffee and start a conversation. Let them come to you. Just make yourself available for those people without the say, I know the answers. You should do this. You should do that. Because no, nobody wants to know what you think they should do. Nobody wants to know that. And again, people come to the agency and they're full of questions. The immigrant community is growing in Berkshire County, and the amount of clients that we're seeing that are immigrants is increasing. It's crazy at the amount of people that they're coming to us, and they want answers. They want answers now, and I cannot give them answers now. I can help them try to find the right answers, but again, going back to that, what I was saying before, I'm not here to tell you or to instruct you what you need to do. I'm here to listen and see how we together can build that. So if you're trying to help somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, be there for them. Be there for them and be available. And emotions take over and people get very defensive. And you don't want to burn that bridge of making that connection with that person. So we can be very aware of what emotions are at the moment, and then just find that good space, that neutral space, to just engaging in a conversation that can lead to a maybe saying, oh, you know what, I heard that in this place so-and-so can help, or blah, blah, blah. But going in at the moment, it's not, in my, like I've noticed, it's not the right approach. Again, this is talking about relation situations that are high risk and people are in, and we have safety concerns about folks. Total different story, but yeah.
I mean, from experience with myself and with friends and, you know, people that I know, you know, most people, and also, I mean, this is why there is so much, like, people going to psychics and then, you know, all this stuff, because it's like people want, tell me what to do. Give me a bullet point list of things that I need to do in order to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's really difficult to come up with that. It's really an internal process.
It is.
Like, you know, you're the one that has to come up with the bullet point list of mm-hmm. what to do.
What makes sense to you and your unique situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it comes from a combination of like hearing what other people say, hearing other people's experiences, mm-hmm. meditating on your own thing, knowing yourself mm-hmm. more,
yes.
getting some help. And, you know, it's like a whole combination of also working on yourself.
Yeah.
There's like a whole combination of things that make that sort of roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it, you know, people think that if they go to therapy or they speak with a professional, they're gonna tell them what to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's a work by yourself.
It's an expectation that it's not real, because it's not there, it's not gonna happen. So something else that I wanted to mention is that the importance of knowing what the limits are, and again, what do mm-hmm. I expect from providers? I cannot give people answers. Like, there are protocols that are set on guidelines and things that we are trained to do in very specific situations. But again, each situation is so unique. That's when we try to bring people in so they can tell their story. Because if we follow like a questionnaire, like a check, like checkpoints, like checking boxes, that's not gonna get me anywhere. Anywhere. So we need to open those spaces, bring people in, which is why I admire again so much what you're doing, bringing people in, just start talking about things. I do hope that people that are going to be listening to today's show can know that they can reach out to people, they can reach out wherever you are. There is information online, and I am going to pass some information for you folks, if you can mm-hmm. share with the
yes,
audience about resources. But talk to somebody. That is the first step. And what I always tell my clients and people in general, because this is not just talking about the work that I'm doing right now, but with friends of mine, anybody that I encounter, my own family, my own kids, is that we have the right to speak our voice, knowing that nobody's going to force us into doing anything. Just because yeah. somebody comes and tells me this is going on doesn't mean that I'm going to call the police on them. Doesn't mean that. No, none of that. Because that's what gets people scared and gives them anxiety. Mm-hmm. And that's what prevents survivors and people that are in a relation to come move forward. Because you're already maybe being controlled by somebody, and then somebody else that you're reaching out for help is telling you exactly what you need to do. So that mm-hmm. is a... There's a conflict there. It doesn't make sense. So
yeah.
I need to be able to talk my own truth and have somebody that can help me voice what I need to do and make a plan that works for me, my own unique mm-hmm. plan. So yes, again, we don't have protocols and we have guidelines that we follow. But again, it's very specific to each person's journey. And it has to be that so it makes sense. Otherwise, we're not serving the purpose.
What I'm thinking as I hear you talk is that having this approach with someone that is in that situation begins to model to people a good, healthy relationship. Because if you're in a relationship where you cannot talk to someone, if you're in a relationship and you don't feel heard, if you're in a relationship in which you are used to someone else telling you what to do, and the thing about when we make our own decisions is we need to live with the consequences of those decisions, good or bad. So I think, you know, I was thinking, you know, how many times I had clients who said, like, just tell me what to do. And I'd be like, I cannot tell you what to do. It's not my life.
Mm-hmm.
And but having that first interaction with someone who knows, who is a trusted person, an advisor, a counselor, mm-hmm. a friend, it begins to give you a model for what a healthy relationship looks like. What does
exactly.
it mean to engage with someone who can listen to you, who might have an opinion? Like, whenever I talk to clients when I was in similar role, like, I had an opinion about what's going on, but it was none of my business. And what other people think of me is none of my business either,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, they could tell me, I'll be like, uh-huh, yeah, tell me more. And at the end, I think a lot, some people, you know, I know that as we will, I remember telling them a lot of times, like, Don't worry if you see me out there in the community. I will, unless you come to me, and you can come to me if you want to, I will never approach you. Mm-hmm. And this is not going. And I was in a situation of having protocols or having like that boundary in which it was just like, I am not crossing it. So don't worry. This is your safety. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, when you have your therapist or when you have a counselor or a coach, to have that boundary that says, I am here to support you and I'm here to model for you. What does it mean to once again to engage with someone in a level playing field, not out of fear, out of choice? And true choice only comes from freedom. And I think that for me, when I think of healthy relationships and what brings me lots of joy, either friendships, jobs, personal partnerships, I choose to stay with that person in that friendship, in that relationship, in that job every day. And the moment that no longer serves me, I have the freedom to say, I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly.
And I am prepared to walk away. And takes a lot of time to get to that space. Mm-hmm. But to say, yeah, I am here because I choose you every day.
Yeah, I mean, I have, as I've said before, I have I have a really good friend. She's a spiritual guide. And, you know, we talk about my stuff, and so I, you know, she's the one I go to, and so she, you know, I tell her blah blah, and like she always says to me, so what are you planning on doing about it? Yep. I'm like, I don't know, you tell me. And she's like, what have you thought about it? Like, what is your conclusion?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always, you know, at the beginning it was really frustrating, but then the exercise, as we kept going, you know, throughout time, it meant that by the time I would call her, I would be like, here's my plan on what I'm going to do about this crappy thing that is happening to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, here's this plan that I'm going to run by you, mm-hmm, kind of thing. And that, like, that really gets you going on this, on a pattern of like, you know, I'm less of a victim and I'm more of a problem solver.
Exactly.
You know, like I'm going through something, and I know that they're gonna ask me, so
I'm getting my,
what have you thought about it? Yes. Yeah, like, have you meditated on this? Have you thought about, mm-hmm, this? You know, what you know, so it's kind of like, all right, I'm going through this, but before I'm calling, I'm gonna think about it, I'm gonna journal about it, I'm gonna, you know, there's a lot of things. And then you're like, okay, I think I have a plan, let me actually run this. And then you can run your plans, mm-hmm, by everyone, and then you can ask their opinion,
and it's hard work. Because that's the work, that is the hard part. And that, going back to the how do I start building those healthy relationships, where do I begin? Gotta start with me. Like, gotta start with, mm-hmm, me. There's no other way around it. Mm-hmm. The thing is that we cannot give to others what we cannot give ourselves. And that is, it's not that we cannot, we masters of giving to others what we do not give to ourselves. I'm talking about me. Like, I'm a master. Like, that's me right there. And since he's laughing, she knows.
I mean, us Latinas, us women are masters of, like, giving everything we got.
Yeah.
But then what happens to us? Like, then we're empty.
Exactly. So, just, again, I don't want to go back in circles and circles, but compassion, 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 compassion. I want to find that lens, which I, the one that I used to look at my babies and my daughters, the same love that I, the same respect, admiration that I have for them, who they are as humans, is what I need to bring back to me. So one day, somebody, mm-hmm, told me, well, it was actually my nephew who said, Atia, I thought that you said that you wanted to eat and healthy and da da da. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, you told Victoria that maybe it wasn't a good idea to have soda. And she listened and she had water. Why are you having soda if you don't want her to have soda? Why are you having it? And this is my nephew when he was little, like he was 7. And I'm like, yeah, why am I giving myself soda when I'm giving, like, the choices that I'm making for those that I love are the ones I need to make for myself. And it's something that simple as, what am I feeding my family, right? But again, it's just in every space. It's in every space. It's finding, turning that mirror, turning that lens into us, that clear, like, me saco el lente, like, I clean it and look at myself, who I am with all that love. And I bring everything that is beautiful from my culture. No shame of who we are. Just bringing all the positive things that we have. There's so many positive things about who we are as Latinos, Latinas, Latinas. Yeah. There shouldn't be a limit. There shouldn't be a limit of how many of those positive things we can bring without having that guilt. Like, I can say, well, I was raised by this way by my parents, and I want to keep those values to continue with my kids. If they don't decide to keep them, that's on them. But those are things that I believe to be truth for me. Yeah. I'm not imposing them, but I'm doing it because I believe on them. If my kids decide not to go in that way, that's their choice. Like, I like getting together with my grandma on Sundays. Not because I am forced to do it, because I want to, and I want to pass that on to my kids. No, for them to come and see me with their kids every Sunday, but for them to know that family time is amazing. It's something that builds us. If we know how to put boundaries and we're not into each other's throats telling what we need to do. So again, I think this is such a big conversation.
Yeah, another thing, coming back to what you said, you know, looking at yourself through that lens, something that, you know, I've learned over time is, you know, when people give you praise, like, believe it.
Oh my God.
Believe it.
You're touching on a topic today.
and like, you know, write it down. When somebody says, you know, you're a really good this, write it down. And then believe it, because that is like, you know, the other people are actually seeing you from an objective lens and seeing the good things in you. And also when they write you and, like, you know, those birthday cards or whatever, and they say good things about you, believe it.
Yes.
And write it down and keep it in like a little post-it that and put it on your monitor or whatever.
Such a
something
good idea.
That, you know, if you don't really think that, if you don't think that about yourself, then, you know, listen to other people, what they say. And it's like, it's, to me, that was so important. And also, it's also important to give other people praise, because there's so many people in life just walking around feeling awful about themselves and, you know, saying to them like, hey, you know what? You're a really great parent, or like, you're a really good daughter, or whatever.
I'm so,
you know,
glad.
You have really great work ethics. You know, all that stuff is really important to say and to hear.
I'm so glad you touched that. And I know we're, my God, I told you, let me talk and I'll go forever.
But I love it. I could talk about this for hours.
I know. Same here. So you just inspired an idea for me. You know how people do those jars with affirmations for themselves? So I tried to do that for me, but it's so hard for me to talk about myself, because I'm dealing with my own thing. And I'm sharing this because I hope this, what I'm sharing with you, can help somebody else to recognize some things that could be happening. It's very hard for me to take compliment, extremely hard, to a point that brings me shame. Imagine. Shame.
That's very common in all of us. So we're always like, oh, stop it.
Yeah.
I'm really not.
Exactly. Brings me shame.
You're lying.
Exactly. I feel that I have to lower my voice or something like that. So what if instead of us making those affirmations, every time somebody gives us a compliment, we put it on a paper and build those jars with other people's.
Love it.
I love it. I'm going to do that. So thank you for that. I'm going to do that because I am working. A few weeks back, there were some award ceremony in Berkshire County, and I was presented with an award that made me cry for days. And I received it with so much humility and humbleness from my heart. And when the ceremony was over, I was talking to my mother, who wanted to know every single thing about it. So I was driving with my daughter, Anna, and my mom says, so tell me everything. And I'm like, Anna, tell your grandma. And my daughter looked at me, is like, no, you tell grandma. Do you think I was able to tell my mom? It took me a few minutes to kind of breathe. And I'm talking, I've been doing this work for a long time, and this is my own struggle. Talking about myself to my own mother was so hard. So that was on April 23rd. And ever since, my daughter has been every day finding a way to make me realize, okay, so how was your day today? That's her way of trying to make me speak about something that was good that day. Be able to speak about my own things, my own successes or wins, whatever big or small, whatever they are, but be able to do it with grace and with self-love. Again, the word that I've been saying tonight all night, 20, 30 times, compassion. Because it's the truth. I'm not able. Many people are not able to take those compliments because many different reasons. So, yeah, let's start building each other up. We need more of that. Definitely. So yeah. Thank you so much for mentioning it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I love this conversation. This is like, you know, to me is what feeds me, talking about these kinds of things and the things that have helped me, and, you know, sharing this with other people and sharing and also learning from you guys. And it's just thank you so much for sharing this hour with us. It's been amazing.
Thank you.
But so that's all the time that we got. Yes. Everyone, I hope that you guys enjoyed this, and please give
follow
us some notes and let us know what you think. And you can reach us at chancletageneration.com, at Chancleta Generation on the Instagram and TikTok, and then on Twitter is Chancleta Gen. And you can email me at clem@chancletageneration.com.
Leave us a review.
So if you like it, please follow us and share with your friends. And if you think that there's somebody that needs to hear this, just send it to them. All right, guys. Thank you.
Gracias, Elisa. Marilisa,
thank you so much. Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you, ustedes. Gracias, mil. Gracias por todo lo que hacen.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.